Dear visitor, welcome to the Oratory of the Holiest Sacrament. This guide was created by the Jonathan Livingston Association, ODV, with the patronage of the municipality of Karini, thanks to the funds of the National Recovery and Resilience Plan of the Ministry of Culture, included in Mission 1, Digitization, Innovation, Competitiveness, Culture, and Tourism, and Component 3, Tourism and Culture 4.0. We are honored that you have chosen to visit this church. We will accompany you inside and tell you its story. Choose your language and enjoy this exceptional experience. The Oratory of the Holiest Sacrament is a place of great historical and artistic value, created by the Baron of Carini, Vincenzo II La Grua Talamanca, and Matteo Janello, Vicar Foraneo of the Curia of Carini. At their request, the Bishop of Mazara sent a petition to Pope Paul VI to establish a Society of the Holiest Sacrament in Carini. This request was accepted with a papal brief dated 1 July 1557. The objective of the company was to spread the cult of the Eucharist in response to Lutheran heresies and in line with the directives of the Council of Trent, which ended in 1563. The first headquarters of the congregation was inside the Mother Church. In 1857, the area now occupied by the last three chapels on the left, with the entrance in the area where the altar of the Sacred Heart now stands, once dedicated to Saint Sebastian. Thanks to its substantial income and numerous bequests, the company soon became one of the richest brotherhoods, and at the beginning of the 17th century, it was possible to build a new headquarters. At the end of the same century, it was decided to decorate and enrich the bare interiors of the new headquarters, taking inspiration from the oratories of Palermo. The facade of the Oratory of the Holiest Sacrament, adjacent to the Mother Church of Carini, has a simple layout and a basically sober appearance, but is enriched by ornamental details at the entrances and windows. The architectural complex can be described as follows. The upper part of the facade follows the line of the gable roof, two slopes converging at the ridge, creating a simple cusp profile without ornamental pediments or tympanums. The facing of the walls is plastered, and although today it shows traces of yellowing and a patina of damp, it retains an evident uniformity that emphasizes its essential form. Visually, two main vertical axes can be distinguished that enclose the doors and windows. The horizontal division is essentially concentrated on two levels, the lower one for the entrances and the upper one for the window openings. Symmetry is provided by the two twin portals at the bottom and the two aligned rectangular windows at the top. Access is through two carved wooden doors made in the 17th century by an unknown artist. Each is framed by a decorative stucco or stone structure that emphasizes the architecture. The doorposts and lintel are embellished with decorative elements such as moldings and volutes, surmounted by a large segmental arch that forms the front and ends the upper frame. Above the lintel, there is a relief motif representing a shell that acts as a keystone. This slightly projecting cornice creates a small curved tympanum, giving movement to the whole. In the upper part, in a position corresponding to the portals below, there are two rectangular windows framed by stucco. This is a typical solution of late Renaissance and Sicilian Baroque architecture, which emphasizes the openings with sober elegance. The facade overlooks Cathedral Square, and the essentiality of the external design does not give an idea of the richness of the stuccos and frescoes inside, in the typical style of Sicilian Baroque oratories. Dear visitor, I now invite you to enter. Access to the oratory is through two carved walnut doors from the 17th century by an unknown artist. On entering, you come to the vestibule, where the brothers would take off their clothes, symbolizing purification from sin. In this space, there is a blackboard depicting the Virgin de Monserrato, a work created on slate by Giovanni Battista Arena in 1605. The main hall of the Oratory of the Holiest Sacrament is a treasure trove of Baroque art, richly decorated with stuccos and frescoes that express the deep bond between art and spirituality. Designed to accommodate the brothers during the Eucharistic ceremonies, this room fully reflects the spirit of the Counter-Reformation, with particular attention to the celebration of the Eucharist. Upon entering, the brightness of the stucco work covering the walls and vaulted ceiling is immediately striking. Probably attributed to the school of Giacomo Serpata, they show extreme attention to detail and harmoniously blend sculpture and painting, with a very rich iconography that guides the gaze towards the main altar. The vault of the main hall is a Baroque masterpiece. The refined and detailed white stuccos are integrated with the polychrome frescoes, organized in such a way as to narrate the history of salvation, with particular emphasis on the Eucharist. In the center stands the Triumph of the Eucharist, surrounded by the four evangelists, the kings of the Old Testament, and four of the 12 sibyls. The side walls of the hall are divided into three horizontal zones. The first zone represents the lower part, where a long walnut bench runs along the perimeter. The brothers sat here during the celebrations. Above the bench, a decorated plinth frames rectangular sections, visually dividing the space. The second zone, which occupies the central part, is where the eight allegorical statues of the theological and cardinal virtues are located, in niches decorated with large shells and draped curtains, symbolizing protection and sacredness. The third zone, which completes the upper part, is where six windows open up, each one richly decorated with stucco work depicting cherubs, festoons, fruit baskets, grotesque masks, coats of arms, and phytomorphic scrolls, typical of Serpata's repertoire. This environment, through the combination of art, symbolism, and architecture, invites contemplation and prayer, elevating the spirit towards a deeper understanding of the Eucharistic mystery. But let's continue our visit. Eight allegorical statues stand out along the upper cornice, skillfully crafted to symbolize the main theological and cardinal virtues, plus a representation of the church. All are inserted within a frame decorated with flowers, with a large shell in the center. The first, above the right-hand entrance door, represents Prudence. The virtue is rendered here with the compositional elegance and the fine execution typical of the school of Giacomo Serpata. The collected attitude, the flowing drapery of the dress, and the reference to devotional attributes, the cross supported with the left hand and the right arm resting on the stomach with the hair shirt in hand, underline its theological and moral value, fully integrating it into the broader decorative program of the Oratory of the Holiest Sacrament. Immediately after, there is a statue representing fortitude. The figure is seated with an upright torso and the right hand seemingly drawing attention to the chest. To the left of the virtue is the column, symbolizing strength as an inner quality of firmness of will. The woman's head is covered by a light veil which, together with her gaze directed forward, suggests a mixture of concentration and austere determination. Next to the virtue of fortitude is the virtue of charity, depicted as a mother breastfeeding her child, a symbolic representation that is very common in sacred Baroque iconography. The female figure is seated with her torso leaning towards the child to look after him. The child is turned towards the mother's breast, expressing with the gesture of his arms and the tension of his little body the desire and trust typical of the act of breastfeeding. The whole scene creates a delicate dialogue of looks and gestures between the two, emphasizing an intense symbolic value, making visible the idea that charity, in nourishing those in need, constitutes the fulcrum of spiritual life within the oratory of the Holiest Sacrament. The last virtue positioned to the left of the main altar is faith. The work is characterized by soft, enveloping drapery, a delicately modeled face, and a rich Baroque decorative apparatus behind her, typical of the repertoire of Serpata's workshop. The woman is captured in a composed but dynamic pose, with one knee raised to emphasize the abundant drapery. Her hand rests on a small base of a truncated column, on which rests the Eucharistic chalice, emphasizing the idea of Christian faith, based on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. The front of the apse is framed by a rich white stucco decoration, typical of Sicilian Baroque style, with ornamental elements including floral motifs, angels, and refined reliefs. It is surmounted by an arch decorated with volutes and sculpted details, at the center of which, supported by angels and positioned on a cloud, are the chalice and the Eucharistic host, finely decorated in gold with a majestic crown positioned above them. On the side columns, halfway up, there are two statues. On the left, Joshua, the biblical hero who led the people of Israel in the conquest of Jericho by making its walls collapse with the sound of rams' horn trumpets. The energetic pose, ecstatic gaze, and fluttering dress emphasize the typically Baroque character of the work, aimed at emphasizing pathos and movement. On the right, we find Samson, the biblical hero known for his extraordinary strength. The vigorous figure, with a naked torso and emphasized muscles, is well suited to personify the power symbolized by strength derived from God. Continuing to the right of the apse, we find the first statue sitting on the cornice. The work, sculpted in stucco, depicts a female figure sitting in a dynamic position, looking upwards in a gesture of trust and expectation. It represents the theological virtue of hope. The statue is sculpted with the right hand holding an anchor, a traditional symbol of Christian hope, representing the salvation of the soul and the steadfastness of faith, even in difficult times. Next to it, continuing towards the right, is Justice. The statue represents a seated female figure with a majestic bearing, symbolizing the impartiality and fairness of justice. The drapery of the robe is sculpted with great skill, giving dynamism and solemnity to the composition. The sword, firmly held in her right hand, symbolizes the power of the law and the ability of justice to punish the wicked and defend the righteous. The scales, once present in her left hand, are the symbol of the fair measurement of human actions, representing impartial judgment. Immediately after justice, the statue of temperance, with its measured gesture and symbolism, conveys a clear message. Balance and moderation are fundamental to living a virtuous life, according to Christian and moral principles. The woman is depicted as she gently pours water into the brazier, a highly symbolic gesture that represents the ability to moderate impulses and to temper the heat of passions with reason. This act recalls the concept of balance and moderation, fundamental values of temperance. The last statue placed next to the entrance door on the left at the back of the wall represents the church. The statue is depicted sitting in an authoritative pose with solemn gestures that express her spiritual and temporal power. The drapery of the garments is rendered with great skill, giving a sense of movement and solemnity to the composition. He is wearing the papal tiara, representing the triple crown. This triple-crowned headdress symbolizes the Pope's three powers: the Pope's authority over temporal affairs, the Pope's role as moral and spiritual leader for humanity, and his duty to represent Christ in the Catholic Church. This element emphasizes the primacy of the Catholic Church in the governance of souls and its direct link with divinity. The key, held in the left hand, represents the power conferred on St. Peter and his successors, the symbol of the power to loose and bind, that is to say, to forgive sins or to exclude from the ecclesial community. The gesture of the right hand seems to indicate an act of blessing or teaching, symbolizing the church's mission to guide the faithful. On the wall at the back of the church, between the two entrance doors, in the center we see a raised base covered in marble. This space was once reserved for the prior of the Congregation of the Holiest Sacrament, with an eagle above it surmounted by a cherub with the inscription Silentium. The scroll invites the faithful to silence and contemplation in the presence of the Holiest Sacrament. To the right of the eagle is a fresco depicting Asa, and to the left, Josaphat, both by Filippo Tancredi. Above the eagle, the central part of the space is occupied by a loggia, whose arches are supported by two dark marble columns. In the loggia, there is an ancient organ made of carved wood, placed in a raised position above the main nave. This arrangement is typical of Baroque oratories, where the organ was used to accompany liturgical moments and celebrations. The entire surface above the loggia is completely covered with a rich decoration in white stucco, with a riot of floral motifs, angels, volutes, and Baroque frames, typical of Sicilian artisans of the 17th to 18th centuries. Moving our gaze to the wall to the right of the loggia, we can admire the perimeter windows, all richly decorated with an elaborate composition of cherubs, volutes, foliage, and floral motifs that enhance the three-dimensionality of the space. The cherubs seem to animate the architecture, emerging from the volutes and curls with dynamic gestures. Below the windows, there are carved trefoil corbels, on which there are some scenes in relief representing episodes of Eucharistic miracles, contributing to the visual narrative of the oratory's decorative apparatus. Immediately below the first window, on the shelf, is a depiction of St. Paschal Bailon, a Spanish Franciscan saint known for his intense devotion to the Eucharist. He is positioned next to a straw hut, surrounded by a flock of sheep, a symbolic element that recalls the theme of the Good Shepherd and the people of God. In the second window, the miracle of Turin is depicted on the corbel. According to tradition, during a sacrilegious theft, a monstrance containing a consecrated host was stolen, but the host remained miraculously suspended in the air, preventing the sacrilege and demonstrating once again the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. The miracle of Bolsena that took place in 1263 is depicted on the corbel under the last window on the left of the apse. The priest, shown in medieval liturgical vestments, is at the altar raising the consecrated host. His expression is one of amazement and fear, as the host is bleeding in his hands. On the opposite wall, to the right of the apse, on the shelf, is a representation of the miracle in which St. Anthony of Padua demonstrated the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist to a heretic who doubted this dogma. The saint, dressed in his Franciscan habit and with a halo around his head, is depicted showing the monstrance containing the consecrated host. In front of him, a mule kneels in veneration of the sacrament. According to legend, the mule, hungry after 3 days of fasting, refused the food offered to it in order to bow down before the Eucharist, thus demonstrating the truth of the Catholic faith. On this window, in the decoration placed on the left between the allegorical masks, halfway up, you can see a small snake called a serpusa, recognized by many as the signature of Giacomo Serpota, even if it is believed that the oratory of the Holiest Sacrament was created by Procopio Serpota, son of Giacomo, and other artists such as Vincenzo Messina and his sons, active in the same period in Carini. Immediately below the second window is the Holy Viaticum, which depicts the administration of the Eucharist to a dying person, an act of extreme unction and comfort. The last scene, in the window to the left of the entrance door, depicts Melchizedek offering God bread and wine, a moment that prefigures the institution of the sacrament of the Eucharist. Dear visitor, I invite you to look up at the vault of the oratory. The decoration of the vault of the main hall is one of the most elaborate and symbolically rich elements. The fresco painting that stands out in the center of the vault of the oratory of the Holiest Sacrament is designed to enhance the triumph of the Eucharist and envelop the observer in an authentic Baroque experience of splendor and spirituality. The rectangular surface is enclosed by a frame of stucco richly decorated with plant motifs, angels, and spirals, which amplify the theatrical effect typical of Sicilian Baroque. In the center of the scene are angels and allegorical figures holding Eucharistic symbols, such as the chalice and the host placed at the center of the composition, emphasizing the idea of divine glory radiating from the sacrament. The figures are arranged in a spiral pattern or on several vertical levels, creating the effect of an open sky where the light, coming from above, illuminates the drapery and accentuates the ecstasy of the faces. At the corners of the vault are the images of the four biblical kings, looking up to the right of the Loggia Josephat. The fresco depicts him in a meditative attitude, intent on reading a book with a cloak that wraps around his body, creating a chromatic contrast with the rest of the white stucco decoration. Above him, the Baroque stuccos, made with great skill, frame the scene. In the center of the sculpted ornamentation, three cherubs can be seen holding a scroll with the inscription Josaphat, harmoniously integrating the character's name into the composition. Finally, above the frescoed scene, the king's half-length portrait is sculpted. To the left of the loggia, the painted scene shows Asa wrapped in a large dark cloak with a long beard and an intense gaze. He is depicted raising an arm, holding a sword, probably to emphasize his authority or his commitment to defending the faith. The expression on his face and his posture emphasize his role as a devout sovereign and reformer. Above the fresco, the Baroque stucco decoration enhances the scene with rich ornamental details. In the center, there are three cherubs holding a cartouche with the inscription Asa, clearly identifying the person depicted. Even higher up, we find the sculpted half-length portrait of King Asa, framed by architectural elements and decorative festoons. The king's face is surrounded by a crown and outstretched wings, emphasizing his authority and his connection with the divine sphere. In the center of the loggia, inside a circle framed by garlands of flowers and acanthus leaves, Moses is depicted. The prophet is represented with a solemn and majestic appearance. He has a long beard and a stern and concentrated expression, typical of the iconographies that depict him as the bearer of the divine law. He is wearing a wide cloak in warm colors, which creates a strong contrast with the dark background of the fresco, emphasizing his figure. In his left hand, he is holding the tablets of the law, symbolizing the pact between God and the people of Israel. The Ten Commandments are engraved on them in characters reminiscent of ancient Hebrew. Looking at the vault around the central fresco of the Triumph of the Eucharist, the Sibyls and the four evangelists are alternately represented. According to medieval and Renaissance Christian tradition, the Sibyls, pagan figures, prophesied, like Isaiah and other biblical prophets, the coming of the Messiah. Their presence, therefore, emphasizes the universal and prophetic dimension that converges in the mystery of the Eucharist. In the area of the vault, to the left of the altar, we find the Cumaean Sibyl. She is the famous prophetess of Cumae, in the Campania region of Italy, known for having anticipated the idea of the coming of a Savior. In the Christian tradition, some of her prophecies are interpreted as referring to the coming of Christ. Next to the Sibyl is a depiction of St. Luke with a bull next to him, symbolizing the patience and sacrifice of Christ. The evangelist is depicted in the act of writing his gospel. Immediately after is the fresco of St. Mark with the lion in the foreground, symbolizing strength, royalty, and courage. Concluding the composition is the Phrygian Sibyl, who, according to classical tradition, operated in the Asian region of Phrygia, and she too is counted among the pagan prophetesses who are said to have foretold the incarnation of Christ. If we look at the top left-hand corner of the main altar, we can see a fresco depicting Solomon. The king is portrayed in the act of passing judgment, a clear reference to his reputation as a wise and just monarch, made famous by the Bible, in particular the episode of the judgment of Solomon. The fresco is framed by a scenographic decoration that amplifies the sense of movement and theatricality. Three cherubs hold a cartouche with the word Solomon, clearly identifying the biblical king. Floral garlands and leaf motifs frame and enrich the composition. The composition culminates with the sculpted half-length portrait of King Solomon, placed above the fresco. In the roundel in the center, above the crown of the apse wall, is a fresco of Melchizedek. The prophet is depicted with an authoritative appearance. He wears a rich cloak and a crown, symbol of his regal role, and holds a loaf of bread or a chalice in his hands, a clear reference to his offering of bread and wine to Abraham. His gesture is interpreted as a prefiguration of the Eucharist, the central sacrament of the Church. The scene shows Jesus at the center of the table, surrounded by the apostles. The atmosphere is intimate and dramatic, with the characters arranged in different positions, some intent on conversation, others overcome with intense emotion. The painting appears dark and has strong chiaroscuro contrasts, which accentuate the pathos of the scene. The work reflects the characteristics of 17th century painting. Above the canvas, a sumptuous stucco sculpture group is arranged around a central cartouche bearing the Latin inscription attributed to St. John Chrysostom, Cogita quali mensa fruaris, which means think well of the banquet to which you are approaching, supported by an eagle, the emblem of St. John the Evangelist. On either side of the cartouche are two cherubs carved in a symmetrical position, with their bodies slightly reclined and their arms outstretched. Both seem to be supporting or framing the cartouche with volutes and acanthus leaves. To the left of the main altar is the canvas depicting St. Elijah. The canvas depicts the biblical episode in which the prophet, exhausted and hungry during his retreat in the desert, is rescued by an angel sent by God. The composition, typically Baroque, is full of movement, with the angel bending down towards Elijah to offer him the bread and water necessary to regain his strength. The angel is the dominant figure on the left side of the painting, with light clothes moving in the wind, a typical device to give dynamism. His gesture of offering food is captured in the act of relieving the prophet's suffering, emphasizing charity and divine grace. On the opposite wall is the canvas depicting the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. The scene is set in the foreground with Jesus and his disciples, while in the background we can see the crowd waiting for the miraculous food. The central group is composed of Jesus wrapped in a red cloak and two disciples next to him who appear to be listening to him. In the foreground on the right, we see a boy, the youngster of the gospel story, who is offering his basket with some loaves and fish to the apostles. Behind the main figures, you can see the waiting crowd, sitting or standing, ready to receive the miraculous food. On the small vault of the presbytery, the frescoes of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob reinforce the link with the ancient covenant and the divine promise. In 1932, Monsignor Filippo Pottino dedicated an analysis to these stuccos on the occasion of the second centenary of Serpata's death, highlighting the sculptor's undeniable imprint, but also the possibility of a work by several hands. In any case, the decorations kept here in Carini bear witness to the greatness of Serpota's tradition and constitute an artistic and spiritual heritage of extraordinary value. Dear visitor, this concludes our story. Jonathan Livingston, ODV, thanks you for visiting the Holiest Sacrament Oratory.